Familiar Bible words can be close to heart and at the same time irrelevant. It says, "Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell." So what are you really afraid of? What are you really afraid of? Some of us would say, okay, I'm a Christian, so I'm not afraid of those who kill the body. But in reality, we do really afraid of whom those who kill the body. Think about it. If his disciples, aka us, are not afraid of those who kill the body, Jesus would not have cautioned us, reminded us, and admonished us just because we are fearful. Jesus told us the truth. "I will not have to remind you vinegar is sour, for you have already known vinegar is terribly sour. Don't drink from the vinegar bottle." I don't think I need to remind you of that. Now, we are more fearful to those who kill the body. We are not so fearful for those who kill the soul. Jesus again and again reminds us. Because killing the soul is so far away. But Jesus again reminded us, "Be wary of those who kill the soul." Judging from the context of Matthew's Gospel, the words pointed out, we do not need to be fearful. We can take courage to share the gospel, for God will take care of us. For in this world, the worst can be done to us, killing us. However, without knowing God, the soul will be thrown into eternal abyss, which is hell. It is Jesus talking to us. If we look at it from another angle, for those who have never known God, they do not acknowledge Jesus as Lord. Their soul will be sure be in hell. They will be fearful for their lives. They were all the more fearful for the eternal end. For a long time, evangelicals were accused of preaching fire and brimstone as if the gospel, which means good news, is actually bad news. Like it or not, we are evangelicals. Even though nowadays, sometimes I would be afraid to call myself evangelicals because evangelical has such a bad name. Evangelical means those Christians who will preach the gospel, the good news, who will do the good news. And evangelical has been known to preach fear, not hope. I can still remember there was a time, that was in the 70s. I was just a young boy. Actually, not a boy, a young man. One of my best friends became Christian because he was afraid of hell. Because there was one day, he read the Gospel of Mark, there was this verse: "Into hell, where the worm never dies and the fire is never quenched." My friend confessed he made his decision because he is really afraid of worms. So eventually, if he has to go into hell and face worms that never die, that's tremendous fear. It is true. Of course, this is not something we want now. So from the last like 20 or 30 years, Christians, especially the younger generations, resented to preach the gospel in words, resented to preach about the judgment, resented to preach about consequences of sin, and etc. We just want to preach about the love and goodness of God. However, if we do not tell this truth, maybe we are only presenting half-truth. So all of us know the most famous words in the Bible is what? John 3:16. And how many of you can memorize John 3:16? Raise your hand. Don't be shy. You all know, right? I just want to know how many of you can memorize John 3:18. I dug up my old Bible. This is the first Bible I ever bought. So when I first started to read the Bible, I still used highlighter to highlight. Okay, see. So let me read you what I have highlighted when I become a Christian. John 3:18. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. We talk about good news. But what about the bad news after the good news? John 16:17 is good news. But John 18 is the other side of the good news. We present one side of God who is love and not the other side of God who is just. Furthermore, some will even stop preaching with words altogether. So a lot of people would criticize, oh, you evangelical, you just talk. You just talk. Why don't you do something? Okay, so we do not talk anymore. We just do. We will do many good things. Being progressive in social concern, going in the forefront of helping people in need, we stop preaching Jesus is the good news, just doing good deeds as if it is from our own selves. These good deeds can be in the name of Jesus or in the name of any name. That name could be Buddha, could be Allah, and even could be Lucifer. So good deeds is only half the truth. There was a lot of criticism of the older generation when they preached the gospel in words. And the criticism is justified. But at the same time, when we have abandoned preaching in words, we are telling half-truth. We are presenting a half-truth. In our generation, we have this problem. We do not and are not capable of presenting the whole gospel. At different times, we put emphasis on this side and neglect the other. The older generation have neglected the good deeds, but our generation have neglected the good word. The passage we read today is a rather comprehensive gospel. It does not need a lot of interpretation. As we read the passage, everything is loud and clear. Mary bought an exceptionally expensive perfume. She poured it out on the foot of Jesus and wiped it with her hair. This act is an act of humble service. Cleaning the foot of the master is the job of slaves or slave girls. Cleaning the foot of the we can easily bring out a few points of attention. First, the perfume is very costly. The cost is probably the sum of Mary's life saving. Second, Mary did not care about other people's impression. Mary is a slave girl. Mary is not a slave girl, but she is doing the job of a slave girl willingly, not by coercion, but out of love and respect. This is why the disciples were so shocking when Jesus washed his disciples' feet, because it's something that should be done by the slave, not by the master. Third, her deeds was made known to all, because the perfume filled the whole house. The fragrance of the perfume filled the whole house. Everybody in the house can smell the perfume, and they can actually what this slave girl has done. Verse 3 said it all. Mary took a pound of costly perfume, made a pure knot, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Mary offered up her best, and that is all she has. At the same time, we see another side of the story, Judah. We may have looked at Judah as a completely negative character, the ultimate traitor. He is nothing worthy. But if we think deeper, Judah is not all that bad. This is a man of fairly good conscience. I did not say he has good conscience, but fairly good. He must have his ideal when he followed Jesus. Now, he followed Jesus for all 3 years. Remember what Jesus has said about himself? Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Hey, a disciple is not above the master, nor a slave above the master. If Jesus has nowhere to lay his head, Judah would not have slept in the inn. Judah endured the hardship for 3 years, until the day he was utterly disillusioned. He could not bear the fact that Jesus has determined not to become the king Judah has envisioned. He betrayed Jesus because he believed Jesus was a fake. This guy's a fake. He's no king. Even when he go to Jerusalem, he rode a donkey, not a big white horse. His triumphal entrance is not really that triumphal, because he made himself so. Eventually, Judas' conscience returned after Jesus died. He wanted to return the blood money. As he reflected, he realized what he has done was wrong. He wanted to return the blood money, but it is too late. He's more like a common people with a certain ideal. In many ways, we could be like him. We have an ideal. We want to follow Jesus, but we fall short. Somehow, some way, we fall short. So the reason why he said, why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor? For every clever embellishment is not to take the whole lot. You give to the poor some and save some for himself. So in a way, on the right hand, he can do some good deeds. On the left hand, he can profit from it. He followed Jesus when he believed all will be well. Jesus would bring him all the blessings promised by the Messiah. But when life is getting difficult, he backed out. He would just do something good and earn a commission. Comparing with Mary, pouring her own livelihood to Jesus is a no-no. But if giving some money for the poor to do some good deeds and retaining some for myself is perfectly okay. What is total sacrifice like Mary? What is doing some good like Judah? Maybe this is the difference between truly belief and half belief. Judah has difficult time to give up money. What are the things difficult for us to give up? May I just suggest from today's context? We may not mind to give out a lot for people, but we are not ready to give up our pride for Christ. When we are doing good deeds, we are on the upper hand. You know, when Christians are doing good deeds, I'm a missionary. I'm going to this land of poverty. I give them new technology. I give them new medicines. Who am I? I'm on the upper hand. I am giving you. But by the time you come to a person and say, do you want to accept Jesus as a Christ and Savior? Do you know you are a sinner? At that point, we feel like we are asking for a favor. Because at that time, your friend will be on the upper hand because he can reject you. Because I'm asking, even though this is some very crucial asking, but still is asking. I feel like I'm asking for your favor. There's a certain pride it's difficult to give up. We are no longer at a position of advantage, helping the disadvantaged. We become disadvantaged, asking the advantaged, because our friends can reject me. Mary has her eyes upon Jesus, and she did not care what people think. She wants the whole world to know Jesus is worth it. Mary did not keep her pride when she poured out the perfume and wiped the perfume with her hair. This is giving all, surrender all. This is me who is surrendering. It's not something from me I'm surrendering. And she wants the whole world to know. This is giving your best. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you. We thank you for your love and for your concern for us and for those people who do not know you. You have saved us, and this is a time you may need to think about. There are people who need your love a whole lot more. And pray you call us, send us to be your ambassador and as your slave. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.